Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks again for joining us this week. It's a jam-packed show as we kick things off by talking with the coach, Mark Soto. He is the executive director and co-founder of the Honor Group. They put on the great Honor Bowl series, great high school football games that kick off the new football season every year. And we're going to talk with him about the football games that are coming up 1st of September, right around the corner, that new high school football season. After that, we'll be out. Speaking of high school football, we're going out to the Battle of the Beach. Big 7-on-7 passing tournament that happens every summer at Edison High School. We'll be out to talk with the head coaches of Mater Dei, Jay Serra, Servite, and St. John Bosco, four of the top programs in Southern California right here in our Trinity League. And then we will close out the show by talking with Carly Carlson. She's the sports information director, also at Servite. And we're going to be talking sports information and how schools are able to get that info to people like me and you. But let's kick off the show this week by talking high school football with the executive director of the Honor Group, Coach Mark Soto. I really want to talk about this event. I know it's been going on for a few years now. I've had the honor of covering it the first year when you got this thing going, when it was at Oceanside High School a couple years back. I know it's moved around a little bit. It'll be at Cathedral Catholic High School this year, the football games down in San Diego. It's easy for us to talk about all the great football games, and we're going to get into that in a couple of minutes because there's so many great high school football games to talk about. But I want to talk about what the Honor Group does and what this organization means to all the great veterans and so many great members of the military, you know, that are down in that San Diego area.
I'm honored to do this event. I mean, there's a lot of media that call me a promoter, and I'm not a promoter. I'm basically a football coach dad that had a vision that started on the football field while my son was at war. I've got two sons. One's in the United States Army, and he was a sniper in the Army. My other son was a U.S. Marine, or is a U.S. Marine, I should say. If I said was, they'll crucify me. Is a U.S. Marine, and was in at battle in 2010 in Afghanistan. And while he was part of the 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, and they were going through the Helmand Province and trying to make that area safe, is when I got the vision for this event. And basically it happened because of this. There were so many of my son's friends that were becoming wounded and killed by being blown up. And then one of the Marines that was killed, I actually coached high school football for back in the mid-2000 range. And so it changed my life. And being a football coach, I wanted to do something to inspire the youth of America and really educate them about what a hero looks like. And what better way to do this than on the gridiron? So with what my son was going through, I wanted to develop something that would educate the youth of America while also raising money to give back to our military veterans. And that's where the Honor Bowl started. It started by a football coaching dad that wanted to do something to give back. And here we are. I mean, we've now become what I feel the best high school football showcase in America. And we're honored to bring this event down to San Diego because every year it gets bigger and bigger and better and better. And we raise more money for our military veterans. And that's what it's all about, my friend.
Yeah, it is so true. And the event, when you get a chance to put this in front of the kids, the high school kids who come and participate, how much of it is an eye-opening experience for them?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I've had countless emails and school officials and principals and booster organizations write me letters after an audible just thanking me for the inspiration and the education we not only gave their student athletes and their coaches, but the community. I mean, these people see what we do on that football field, and they leave changed, and they leave educated, and they leave, you know, more inspired about what our military veterans do for our freedom. It's truly a wake-up call, and we want to keep doing it, and we want to expand it across the nation because there's so many people that aren't able to be a part of this, Bob. Well, now we hope to bring this across the nation so communities throughout America could see the honorable.
Is it important that that people today, and not just kids, but adults, you know, there's generations of people who never served, don't know what it's like to serve. Obviously, it's very near and dear to your family. You know what it's like. You've seen two boys, your two sons go off and do it. Is it important to tell the stories and to let people know, you know, exactly what it means to go off and defend this great nation?
Bob, it wouldn't even be an honorable if we didn't do that. I mean, from the moment the teams arrive and they have a chance to go on to Camp Pendleton and be toured through Camp Pendleton and go to a memorial wall where the names of our nation's fallen are there, and they can hear about these men. I mean, we have wounded Marines that talk to them right from that memorial garden where their friends are, you know, memorialized on that wall. And then we go into the locker rooms before they go and play a game. Right before they go on that field, we knee up the athletes and remind them why they're here and why they're playing in this game. I can tell you right now, nobody leaves that locker room completely fired up. They've just heard from a military commander. They just heard from a wounded Marine. They've heard from a chaplain. And they heard from myself the story again about why they're there. And it's extremely powerful, and every one of those athletes leave changed.
Coach Mark Soto joining us, the executive director and co-founder of the Honor Group. They put on the Honor Bowl games coming up in just a couple of months here, early September, down in San Diego. Make sure you find the tickets and get out there and watch some great football. You know, obviously, you said you kind of came up with an idea. It's one thing to come up with an idea. It's another thing to make it into what it's become. I have to imagine there's lots of people that you talk to, that you approach, that just dove in headfirst along with you to put this together.
Oh, my goodness, buddy. It's truly been a labor of love. None of us in the nonprofit are paid. You know, basically, we do it because we really, really want to give back to our military veterans. And, you know, over the years, there's been people that have locked arm with us and see what we do and see the vision and have been very helpful. One of them is the community of Oceanside. They gave us our start. They basically opened up their school, opened up their doors and said, Coach, we're right here at the gates of Camp Pendleton. We love what you're doing. Bring it to our school. And for 3 years, you know, we started this whole thing right there in Oceanside. And then, you know, last year we thought we'd make a move and try the Orange County area up and had a great time in Mission Viejo. But we felt that we still needed to return back to the San Diego community, which, you know, first loved us and gave us our start. So now we're heading back down to San Diego at Cathedral Catholic, which, as you know, Bob, is a beautiful stadium.
Gorgeous.
A wonderful community. Their booster organization, their school administration, their athletes have completely jumped behind this event. And every time I go down there and I meet with them, I just get leave with goosebumps and about how excited they are about bringing this event to their school.
You know, so much talk, of course, in Southern California football about the Southern section, but the San Diego section has so much great football. It doesn't surprise me that the folks down there in the San Diego section, you know, jumped at the chance to help put this together. I imagine there's coaches and programs that are lined up that want to play in this.
You know what? We have been very blessed with the teams from across the nation that have called us, that have sent us emails and said, you know, Coach, how do we become a part of the Honor Bowl? We never intended when we started this event that it would become like the best of the best high school football showcase. That's not what we intended. We really, truly wanted just to bring teams together to love and give back. But over the years, it's kind of morphed into this, you know, best of the best preseason opening football showcase that it really has become the premier showcase in America. And the teams that want to be in it, like, you know, St. Joseph Regional, St. Joseph Prep out of Philadelphia, IMG out of Florida, Punahou out of Hawaii, we are truly honored to do this. And the fact that schools want to become a part of it, I think speaks to the educational mission behind our event. Because, face it, it's a football game, right? But the fact that the kids are leaving educated is what makes our event completely different.
Yeah, I would imagine that that's a selling point. Not that you really need a selling point at this juncture, but it really is, I think, to the coaching staffs that probably say, hey, this is something that our kids are not only going to maybe get to travel from somewhere and have that experience, but just the experience of being part of this event and the people they get to meet along the way. That's going to take young men and make them into men and maybe send them along their path in life.
Absolutely. You couldn't have said that any better. When St. Joseph Regional came out from New Jersey last year, you know, we don't have the funds or the proceeds to pay for, you know, a 75-person team with all of their coaches and equipment to fly them out here. We can't do that, right? But the schools that come out and play in our event, they do all their own fundraising. They go out and get all their own sponsors, and they pay their way. And what a phenomenal thing for these coaches and students to do, to come out and be a part of the Honor Bowl, and then when they leave, have them call me and say, please invite us back. Please. I mean, this was the greatest event we've ever been involved in. Please. That, to me, speaks to the testimony of what we've developed. And like I said, buddy, we're honored, and we hope it goes on for years and years and years.
Yeah, and it certainly will. Well, we're going to take a quick break here and come back. We're talking with the coach, Mark Soto. He's the executive director and co-founder of the Honor Group. They put on the Honor Bowl game down in San Diego, and we're going to talk about those great matchups when we come back right here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. Thanks again for sticking with us this week here on Catholic Sports View. We're joined by the coach, Mark Soto. He's the executive director and co-founder of the Honor Group. You can go to thehonorgroup.org and get more information about this fabulous group. And they put on the great football games that are coming up 1st of September. Absolutely. And it's been such an honor to talk with you about this. You know, the thing that just kind of popped into my mind as we were in break there is I thought, man, it must blow your mind to think where this thing has come in just 5 years here.
I got to tell you, buddy, I'm pinching myself. You know, I'll give you a major announcement right now that hasn't been announced to the media, but it's going to be big news in the next few days, and that is that the 49er NFL organization came on as our presenting sponsor, and so now the San Francisco 49ers are going to be partnering with the Honor Group and helping us present the Honor Bowl in San Diego this year and for 3 years to come.
Wow.
And that's a huge, huge thing for us to have a major NFL organization come on board and bless us with that type of sponsorship. It really means a lot to how far we come. And that'll be big news over the next few days.
Yeah, oh, that's fabulous. I appreciate it. Thanks for breaking that news right here on Catholic Sports View. What an awesome thing to be able to say, hey, we've got an NFL franchise, you're willing to come in. And let's face it, it does take money. It takes capital to put on this kind of an event and have a, I know you said, so you mentioned a lot of people volunteer their time, but it does take some money to come in and make all this happen.
It does. You know, a lot of this we do, you know, through donations and through individual sponsorships and all that. But now to have NFL organization jump on board with all of their marketing expertise and all of their vision. I mean, you know, Bob, it's truly an amazing thing that's happening this year for us. And, you know, we're talking next year about bringing the Honor Bowl to Levi's Stadium. I mean, come on.
Wow.
Man. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about that. That's how far it's come. And I really think it all has to do with the passion of all of us individuals that put this on. We never, ever skipped a beat as to what we wanted to do with this event, and that was educate, educate, educate. We've been respected for that.
And it's really true. It's and I can attest to it. It's really a part of the entire weekend is the education and the chance to go around, you know, meet a soldier, meet somebody who's a veteran, you know, and talk to people who experience this and really find out firsthand. There's so much misinformation sometimes out there in the public. But when you meet somebody firsthand, you really get that correct information that people can use and say, hey, you know, I go away more educated than when I showed up.
That's exactly right. So much of our youth of today, they're a little skewed when they think about what a hero looks like. You know, many people think, you know, it could be a Jay-Z or a Kardashian. And in some circles, those might be heroes. But in our circle, what we're truly trying to do is a mind shift and an educational platform to say, you know, think about it this way. We live freely today, and we're able to do what we do on the streets of America because of the men and women that fight, bleed, and die for our freedom. And here's a different way of looking at that. And wow, what we do works. It works.
Yeah, it's so true. Mark Soto, again, joining us, executive director and co-founder of the Honor Group. 5 years in now, I guess, fifth or sixth year, I guess, of the event here. And right away, I think, hey, you know what? Is there a chance for this thing to grow? You mentioned it. You talked about maybe with the 49ers jumping on board, maybe the event, you know, to having a chance to play in Levi Stadium. What an awesome thing that would be. But has there ever been talk of maybe taking this into a basketball arena or some other sport or taking it more nationwide into other venues?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny that you bring that up because that's another thing we've been working on with the now that the 49ers have officially come on board with us as our partner, we have been speaking to other NFL teams that would be hopefully interested in bringing us to their community. And our goal and dream has always been to take this to the East Coast so that the East Coast corridor could be a part of it, so we would have an honorable West and an honorable East. We've also have been developing a hometown honor bowls where, you know, teams that may not be, you know, those teams that are getting a personal invite to be a part of the honor bowl could still bring the honor bowl to their own hometown. So we're growing a thing called hometown honor bowls where we will support them as our nonprofit and give them the material and the educational curriculum so that they could actually bring this to their school and community. So we're working on that. We're developing all that right now. So, yeah, Bob, there's tremendous vision in expanding this across America. I believe it's going to happen very soon.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I know you work a day job yourself as well. And so where do you get the time and energy to do all this?
You know, buddy, I really don't look at it as work, Bob. But to me, it's a passion, love. And, you know, if you love what you do, how can it be work, right?
It's so true.
You know, I mean, what better thing? I'm talking to coaches. I'm still involved with football. Even though I retired from high school football as a coach, you know, I'm still involved and entrenched in it and talking to the best coaches in the United States and you know, communicating and on the field with them, and it's the funnest thing I've ever did.
Yeah, it's so true. Let's talk about some of the matchups this year. And well, we know the best high school game of the entire year last year happened in your event, and there's going to be a rematch of that football game as Corona Centennial will take on IMG Academy. That was an offensive bonanza is the only way I can put it. No defense played, it seemed, almost throughout the entire game. What a game that was last year.
Yes. No, and I got to tell you, we thought of the rematch as we were walking off the field. I mean, literally last year, as everybody was, you know, floating on that field, because you remember how magical that game was. I mean, it was truly an offensive showcase. But as the coaches were walking off the field, I went and shook their hand and said, thank you so much. Let's do this again next year. Of course, everybody's like, yeah, you know. But, you know, it still takes work and time to put it all together. But, you know, everybody was like, let's do this again. I mean, everybody had so much fun, right? And so, especially IMG, I mean, that's a tremendous expense for them to come out from Florida and be a part of a California-focused event like that. I mean, to have them travel out and immediately after the game, say, how can we be in this event again? So, I mean, to have that re-racking for the marquee September 2nd game, we're expecting a packed house. I mean, that'll be that Saturday evening game. And then right before that, we got Punahou coming from Hawaii, one of the top teams in Hawaii, playing Sarah Gardena out of the southern section. My goodness, buddy. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better twilight 4 o'clock game before the marquee game. And then before that game, we got Paraclete, which was a state champion last year,
right,
coming down and playing Helix. I mean, what a Saturday that's going to be. It's going to be a fun day of football. And I mean, for $15, you get three great games like that. You can't go wrong.
It's the best deal in town. It really is. I mean, go to thehonorgroup.org and get all the information about the games. And there's a Friday. There's Friday night as well, which will be Village versus Christian in game one. And then game two is Cathedral Catholic, you know, one of the San Diego powerhouses, against Orange Lutheran, one of our great Trinity League schools that we cover here on our show. And we're glad to see Orange Lutheran, you know, become a part of the event again and take on great Cathedral Catholic school as well. I mean, just every matchup in this is great. You mentioned it takes time to put all these matchups together. Do you just sit in a room with some other great high school experts and say, hey, how can we put together the greatest games?
Well, it's kind of like that. I mean, basically what we do is we follow every team throughout the year. We put everything up on a whiteboard as to where they finished, you know, how many juniors are coming back. You know, we have a nice spreadsheet that we develop, and then you know, we start going, okay, well, we start putting our dream matchups together. And based on our dream matchups, that's where we go after it. We've been really lucky that everybody's heard of the Honor Bowl now.
Right.
And they've heard nothing but greatness about it. No coach goes back complaining about the way they were treated. They're treated great from the time they arrive to the time they leave. They're treated like gold, because I remember what it was like to be a coach and show up on a football field. You know, you want to be respected and loved and honored. So we do all that from the get-go. But then when they leave and then they start talking with their friends and then their friends talk to their friends, that's what's led to this being so widely recognized, is that they are respected, they're loved, they're appreciated, and they're inspired. As long as we're doing that, I don't see this thing ever going away.
Yeah, so true. Well, it all started back in 2012, and it's just grown and grown and grown from there. And once again, it'll be Friday, September 1st, and Saturday, September 2nd, five football games, five of the best games you're going to see all season long, and it really kicks off the 2017 football season, high school-wise, here in Southern California. Coach Mark Soto, we want to thank you for joining us. Again, we're going to redirect everybody to your website, thehonorgroup.org. Go on there, get information about what this group is all about. It's an awesome group, and it's a group of awesome football games that you're going to want to be a part of down in San Diego the first weekend in September. Coach, thanks again for joining us. Good luck, and we look forward to seeing you down there in September.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Yeah, you too. That's the coach, Mark Soto, joining us from the Honor Group. We'll have much more right here on Catholic Sports View when we come back. You're listening to Immaculate Heart Radio.
Win a trip to the Holy Land. Simply subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll be automatically entered to win. No purchase necessary to enter. Travel to some of Christianity's most important sites. This inspirational tour is truly a vacation of a lifetime. All you have to do is subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll automatically be entered to win. Visit OCCatholic-subscribe.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio. I am Bob Gibson. And recently we went out to the Battle of the Beach. And for all you high school football fans, you know that's one of the great 7-on-7 passing tournaments that happens every summer. It's at Edison High School. It was awfully hot out there this year. And even hotter was the talent out there from all the local high schools, including four schools from our Trinity League. And I got a chance to catch up with all of them. And we started out by talking with the head coach out at Servite High School.
What are you hoping to get out of a day like this? Like I told those guys, you know, our guy is to compete, you know, compete together as a team, and you know, hopefully we can win some games and have a lot of success and have a real positive weekend building into our last 2 weeks of summer stuff.
Hey, Bill, you got a towel?
So much work goes into the off season, and then you get to come out here and kind of put it all into play. I mean, is this where it starts to really come together, the whole plan that you and the coaches have been putting together for the past couple of months?
Yeah, you'd hope so, especially, you know, a tournament like this. I mean, there's some great teams here, so for us to come here and compete and, you know, hopefully have a lot of success, it's something you can continue to build on. You know, it's 7-on-7, but still, you know, it's a competitive environment with all the great teams here.
Is it more of a chance to shake some of the rust off?
Yeah, a little bit, you know, because, you know, we throw on Wednesdays with other schools, but it's more of an instructional, you know, 10 plays offense, 10 plays defense, switch it up. So here we can really knock the competitive rust off anyway and try to get after it and win some games.
What do you really have your eye on when you're out here? Kind of looking at the whole thing, but what are you really focusing on?
Each guy is still doing their job, or they don't come out here and they, you know, kind of get thrown by the environment and try to be a hero. But everyone just doing their job and, you know, doing to their best of their ability.
Is this as much a showcase for the kids as it is for the coaches as well, to get in here and really hone their craft also?
Yeah, I think so, you know, because you get in different situations and, you know, our game went down to the wire there. So it's good. Yeah, it's good for the coaches and the players and all the people out here watching. It's fun for the kids and on all the teams.
Obviously, you compete to win anytime, and you won this one against Edison. I'm impressed with what you saw. Your young quarterback and your receiving corps?
Yeah, you know, Edison's they're a great football program, and they're, you know, always do real well in the 7-on-7 tournaments. They had a game under their belt, so for us to come out and get that win in the first game against Edison's a good way to start.
Do you look around? Do you get a chance to look at some of the other games, some of the other programs around here?
You know, we had the bye the first game, so we'll probably have a great chance to get around and see some of the other games. You know, we can kind of turn around and see the game behind us a little bit, but with that first bye, we were able to see, you know, Edison and the teams on this field.
With Chase Harris, Coach Pat Harlow. You know, Coach, do you like these 7-on-7 tournaments?
No. You know, they're great. They get the kids get out and compete, and so that's what it's really about, and trying to work on our game and not really. Unfortunately, we get into the winning it is more important than working on our concept sometimes, so that's what kind of gets off. But I do like the ability for our kids to come out and compete.
It's obviously a chance for the coaches just as much, I would guess, to kind of get acclimated with everything as the players are.
Absolutely. It's a great learning experience for everybody all the way around, coaches, players, our parents. We had a little issue earlier. So it is. It's a good chance for us to see our guys under pressure and how they respond and see how they take the coaching.
Obviously, you try to create a real-world experience, you know, kind of an in-game deal. Some issues with the refereeing maybe for both sides, you know, throughout this game here this afternoon. Is that kind of a good lesson for your kids, maybe to you know, keep their heads and stay? And I heard some of the coaches saying, hey, control what you can control.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's like you can't let – things are going to happen in a game, and obviously the rules of 7-on-7 are a little bit different, so the refs have a little struggle with that. But if something gets held up, you've got to be able to keep your composure. And if it gets out of rhythm, you got to get right back into it.
It's the Trinity League. Obviously, if you can't generate offense, it's going to be tough to compete. Looked like your offense was really doing well today.
Yeah, you know, we've got some guys that can do some damage. We just got to get them more consistent.
How about defensively?
You know what? We're a little bit shaky sometimes. The middle of our field's got to be a little bit stronger. We just got to drive on the ball a little bit more. We're afraid to make a mistake.
How about you? You comfortable now getting into this?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've been doing this a long time, so it's I got great staff with me and a great kid, so it makes it easier.
With Bosco Race Football Coach Jason Negro. Coach, I know it's July, I know it's 7-on-7, but this team already looks like it's making its statement here.
You know, we're playing really well today. We've only been back this second week. We've taken our dead period, so we've been back for 2 weeks now, and our kids are playing really well. We got a lot of talent, and we're deep. So in the skill spots, we got some really good players, and got a returning quarterback and a backup kid that's as good as anybody, I think, in the state. So we're in a good place right now.
Yeah, how much does it mean to return your quarterback who can do so many different things?
I think it's big because the best part of his game, he can't even do in passing league. You know, it's manage a game, run the ball, make play action. Some of the things that we're really, really good at, we can't even do in 7-on-7. So for him to be able to perform as well as he is today, it's great, and it's a bonus for us.
How much can you create the type of scenarios you need to create for your kids to get what they need out of this?
I think it's great for the timing. It establishes a lot of camaraderie between our guys. And then we have to compete. That's the biggest thing we want to get out of this thing is competing against great opponents. We know in the fall, if you're going to go to Florida and play, and you're going to go to D.C., you're going to have to play against some really good people. And we know that. So putting them in competitive situations is what we're trying to do.
Is this just as important, get reps for the coaching staff as it is for the players?
I think so. You know, we added a couple new guys on the offensive side of the ball. You know, so in terms of us and how we work together and how we manage things together and the rotations and having kids coming in and out, it's big for coaches as well. So we're trying to all come together, and it's a process, and that's what you're using the summer for.
Obviously, if you can't score points in the Trinity, you're not going to win too many football games. Is that really the focus when 7-on-7 is going on?
I think so. I mean, you know, again, it's not real football. We understand that. But for us to come out here and get our timing down, for us to come out here and to compete against really good opponents, against good coaches who know how to scheme things up, it's good for us because we are going to have to score a lot of points. And we were able to do that the last couple of years, and we've had some success. So we're going to have to continue to do that. But at the end of the day, in December, you're going to have to run the football. And I think we proved that last year, and we're going to have to do it again this year.
Is it important to get off to a quick start, you know, for your program? You had the loss against Modern Day, but that kind of almost spurred your guys. You know, is this a team that really wants to just sprint out early?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but, you know, we better this year. We're going to be in trouble playing St. Thomas Aquinas game one, and that's going to be a monster for us to go down to Florida and then in August and play a football game. But I expect our kids to, you know, come out there and play hard, and obviously that's what we're going to need to do to beat teams like Modern Day and Centennial and those guys down the road. So hopefully it's going to put us in the right mindset mentally and get us to where we need to go.
I know coaches don't like to compare year to year sometimes, but is it possible this could be your best group that you've had since you've been at Bosco?
You know, that's an interesting question. You know, all due respect to the guys behind them, you know, the 13 team was pretty amazing. That the 16 team was pretty doggone good too. These guys have to find their own place in the legacy of our program, and I think they know that and they understand it. Even though we have a lot of state champions on this team, they want to repeat, and that's something that we haven't been able to do, so they can do something what nobody else has done, and then we'll make that determination.
With Modern Day head coach Bruce Rawlinson, coach, you've been doing these 7-on-7s a long time.
Yeah.
A two-part question. What did the kids get out of it, and then what did the coaches get out of it?
Let's start with the coaches. The coaches get to see the kids compete, okay?
Sure.
You got people on the side. You got a lot of fans out here. How do they respond? It's not like we're throwing at the high school on Thursday nights like we do where there's very few people. Okay, so you get a bearing on that. Who's making plays, okay? And, you know, what's their attitude? What concerns me, like right now, what I'm getting out of it is I see some kids looking for excuses, okay? It was he held me. You know what? There is no excuses, okay? You have to believe in yourself and you have to execute. What the kids get out of it is repetition. Catching the ball, running the routes. You can only do so much in practice. Our defense knows our offense. Our offense knows our defense. And that's the number one benefit of this. Now you're seeing different coverages, different drops, different schemes on the back end. And now do we adjust and understand where my keys are and things like that. And you can't substitute competition. But my final thought is, remember, this has no bearing on anything, okay? This is technically not real football. Every coach out here has to take a sigh of relief if he has horses in the stable. Back at school, I got horses in the stable, okay? And that's when the real football starts. But I do like this stuff to see how kids respond. That's the bottom line. Yes, I do get frustrated because I'm a competitive person who wants to win. When we have opportunities and we don't take advantage of those opportunities, that's going to transfer over to the real season, okay? Or when we have adversity, how do we respond to adversity? Okay, that's going to transfer over. And, you know, that's it in a nutshell. That's what I've always believed about this. I mean, I give you an example. We won every tournament that we entered last year, but we still lost the championship game. So nobody could say in the locker room, yeah, but we won passingly.
Right.
Who cares? Okay, what is it, today? July 9th or July 8th?
Eighth, right.
Okay, by July 10th, nobody will remember the Edison tournament.
How important is it to have as many skilled players coming back as you have back, including your starting quarterback?
Well, I mean, you know, we have 10 of 11 starters back on offense, and you know, we have a great linebacking core, and we have a great defensive line. And again, go back to this. This is great work for a secondary that has nobody returning. Good players, but they need reps. They need reps because they're inexperienced, and you don't run the football out here. And I got two great tailbacks in Harper and Street. So, you know, we'll take advantage of that when we get the big men in front of us.
Obviously, you're part of the big coaching fraternity in Southern California.
Yeah.
Nice to kind of run into maybe some guys you don't get to see at other times in the season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Coach Mazzotta, the team from last game, okay, his dad and I are very close, and I've become very close with him. And you know, and I like to watch some of these young coaches, the young hires, you know. I don't like coming out here and being told I'm a legend. I don't consider myself that. I consider myself to be the head football coach at Modern Day High School. And right now, we're not playing well, especially on offense, and that concerns me.
Well, when it was all said and done, it was Modern Day and St. John Bosco in the finals of that tournament. And a little bit of a shocker is Modern Day upset Bosco to win the Battle of the Beach 7-on-7 passing tournament. Could those be the two teams we see again at the end of the Trinity League football schedule? I have a hunch it could absolutely play out that way. Two of the top teams in the entire nation right there, Modern Day and St. John Bosco. Another quick break here on Catholic Sports View. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Carly Carlson. She's the Sports Information Director at Servite. Stay tuned right here to Immaculate Heart Radio. Visit out at Servite High School, and we're focusing on the Sports Information Department. And Carly Carlson heads things up out here at Servite. Hey, thanks for taking a couple of minutes.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to talk about it because it seems like in high school sports, we see so much, of course, in professional and college sports, but it's really trickled down to high school sports where you need to have a good Sports Information Department, and really important here in the Trinity League, isn't it?
No, definitely. The Trinity League, it's so competitive and so different compared to some other sports leagues around, and we really think it's important to prepare our athletes in all avenues. So obviously they're getting prepared in the classroom by their teachers, or spiritually by our priests here, and then obviously for the coaches athletically, but I come in to kind of help with the sports information side, like you said. So we want to talk about social media and their presence online and things of that nature. So that's why we're really here to help them.
How'd you get involved with the media and sports information? Was this something you set out to do?
I actually didn't know what I wanted to do. I studied communications in college, and then I went back and got my master's and found this sports information program at Long Beach State and kind of fell in love with it. So during that time, I interned with UCR in their athletic department, specifically in sports information, and kind of first really learned about all that it entailed and fell in love with it. So from there, I learned a lot about writing and social media, and that kind of got me here and into this position.
How much did that help having get your feet wet, so to speak, in a college atmosphere like that?
It helped a lot. It definitely kind of helped me as I set up this position and have really decided how I'm going to take it and work with the athletes, because most of them are headed to play college sports. So we're kind of prepping them just as they would be in the classroom for their sports as well. So preparing them for interviews or photo shoots or things of that nature. So it's really modeled off of what a college SID would do.
Yeah, this is really, you know, as I mentioned, it's really unique to high school sports. I mean, in the 25 years I've been doing this, I've only run into a handful of high schools that have, you know, a dedicated, you know, department to this. So, you know, really you're kind of making the rules or making the script as you go, right?
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Like you said, there's not a lot out there to go off of. So as I've been here, this is my fifth year now at Servite, we've kind of changed the position to really help our students as we see fit. So we've brought in different people to focus on different things to teach them. So a couple years ago, we had a USC professor come and talk to them about their social media presence. And he spoke to them about the recruiting process and how they can make sure that they're putting their best foot forward, and how once they get to the college campuses, how they're being looked at by not only their coaches, but fans of the program, their families, other recruiters. So we want to make sure that they're really set up for that and So that's what we've kind of done here.
How much of it is sports information, you know, press releases, those kind of things, and how much of it is marketing? Because, you know, you are marketing a school here to prospective families who want to come be a part of the Servite community.
No, definitely. Sports information, I think, is more communications focused. So we're sharing what's going on, whether it's a kid that got an award or the team won a league championship. But it's also, as a private school, we want to make sure that everyone's aware of all the great things we're doing here. So if we're putting out great information and people are seeing that and that might help them want to come here, then that's an added benefit as well.
Carly Carlson joining us, Sports Information Director here at Servite High School. This is not just a 9-to-5 job, right? I mean, you feel like you're always on call? I imagine you are.
It's definitely not a 9-to-5 job at all. I work here a normal day, a 9-to-5 in the office, working on our website and doing graphics and photo shoots and different things of that nature. But then, as you know, most events are right. 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock on the weekend, doubleheader for baseball. So it's definitely not a 9-to-5, but I love it because it's different every day. I get to be in the office. I get to be out at the baseball field or at the football field. I get to work with so many different people, from all of our coaches on campus to the student athletes, to their families, to local media. And so it really gives me a great idea of the kids that we have on campus and what's going on in the community.
As I mentioned, inside the Trinity League, I think every school in the Trinity has a person like you in their office now. Do you get a chance to interact with the other SIDs and maybe talk about things or compare notes or find out what's working, maybe what isn't working, those kind of things?
I think that most of the other Trinity schools have someone that does my function, maybe not necessarily with the same title as me. I've gotten to know some of them over the years, and some of them have definitely developed more over the years as I've been here. I know a lot of the teams, they run their own social media sites. So like a baseball coach might run the baseball Twitter, where the athletic director runs the general one. So we structure things a little different here, is that I do everything. We want to keep it consistent, and we're having the same message go out. So I'm tweeting about football and baseball and basketball. Whereas some of the other schools, I think, do it differently, which, since we're an all-boys school and only have 13 teams, it's a lot easier for me to get out, where some of the schools that are co-ed have double that. So I can only imagine that would work a lot better than what we have set up here, but it works obviously well for us. So, I've talked to a lot of the other athletic directors, mostly about kind of how they're moving forward with sports communication to make sure that we're keeping up with all the trends and really giving the best service to our student athletes because they are playing at such a high level.
Is it literally a thing that changes, day to day? I mean, Twitter, Facebook, obviously, Instagram came along and became the big thing. You have to keep on top of every trend, as you just mentioned, of what's going on in the world of communications.
No, definitely. When I first started, we were really focused on our website, and we wanted to make sure that we were driving information there with game recaps or player profiles. And now it's a lot more social media based. You go on Twitter and you can find the score of a game in a matter of seconds. And so we're really focused on that. And I've seen that across all the Trinity League. We're waiting for the result of a game because we want to know if we clinch the league title. And that is going to be determined how another game went. And so we're refreshing Twitter on their soccer page to find out what's going on. And so you really have to stay up with it and make sure you're current. And there's so many different cool social media out there now. Just last week, our soccer game went to penalty kicks. And so I went live on Facebook, and we had a video of all of our followers to be able to watch our game and as it finishes with PKs. And so it's pretty cool that we're able to do so many different things. And so it's a 3:15 game. So maybe parents that aren't off work yet, they're able to watch their son make the game saving penalty kick online. And so it's pretty cool. And they're continually coming out with different stuff. So it's fun for me to learn how to do these different things. And the kids, too, they'll be, hey, have you seen this? Like, can we try this? Of course. Like, let's see what it does and how we can use it here.
Carly Carlson, the Sports Information Director at Servite, joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. Neighborhood schools, public schools, they just have that sphere of their neighborhood. But schools within the Trinity League, and this is a nationwide deal going on. I mean, you're dealing with press, I would imagine, from all over the country at times.
No, definitely. We were lucky enough to have a following across the nation, like you said. So we've had ESPN on campus to do a college signing for one of our athletes that went to Notre Dame 2 years ago. And we've had different companies come out to cover different games. And so it's been fun for me to work with people from all over the nation. We've also had some great outreach programs work with our athletes that we've been able to do, like special events for them on our football games or things of that nature that our kids have been able to volunteer with. So that kind of gives the other side of sports too, them giving back that we've been able to work with as well.
How much do you work with the students here, with the boys on their own personal? Everybody wants to have their own, you know, social media presence, but it is, as we all know, there can be, you know, pitfalls to that as well, especially when you're dealing with teenagers. You know, how much of it is you working with the kids here and teaching them, you know, how to properly use their social media presence?
No, definitely. It's something that everyone wants to have a lot of followers on social media, and especially now, even on Twitter, they're verifying kids that have like 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 followers. So just this year, our quarterback who left early to go to college, play at Colorado, was verified on Twitter. So these guys are quote unquote national names.
Right.
So we've set up programs in the past to kind of go over just some tips on things you should do and should not do. And again, it's just for their own benefit. We want them representing us well, obviously, but they're representing themselves and their families. So most of them are pretty good. We haven't had any issues. They know what to do and what not to do,
right.
Thankfully. But it's definitely something that we have to be aware of and that they need to be aware of, especially as they're trying to get college scholarships and we're trying to set them up for success, and we don't want anything, especially something like social media, to hurt that.
How much has the school been open to, you know, bringing social media in and bringing in all the information that, you know, that's going out?
I think the school has been great. Obviously, with the creation of this position, they realize that there's a need for it and have been on board with supporting that. We have our athletic social media sites, and then we have our general social media sites that kind of serve two different purposes. You learn more about our academics and things of that nature on the general, and then on our sports feeds, you can learn everything from who got Athlete of the Week to what the score of the baseball game was on Thursday. So it's definitely something that I think the school is aware that needs to be had, and they're very supportive in it, and the families are something that have really gotten on board with it as well, and they're excited that they can go find out that type of information on social media for when they're on trips traveling, right, or out of town or at work, like I said. So I think it's just a really great resource for everyone.
Right. I was just going to ask, who's your audience? I mean, is it the families? Is it, obviously it's the families and all that, but the scope goes beyond that, I would imagine too. Maybe surprising who sometimes will follow you or have interest in what's going on here at Cervites, I would imagine sometimes.
Yeah, no, definitely. A lot of parents I talk to on campus that thank us for having that information available, so I know they're definitely using it. I know a lot of alumni that live out of town utilize it, even some kids that are now off at college. We have a baseball player who's going to the University of Oregon. He's committed. And we have a player that just graduated from Oregon who plays baseball as well. So when I posted about him, he commented on it saying like that he's so excited that another brother is going to Oregon and following in his footsteps. So it's cool to see that they've stayed connected through social media and are able to still see what's going on here and continue the relationships with the guys that are younger than them and going up. So definitely, I think alumni, the local community, like we said, since we're part of the Trinity League, we have a lot of interest just because of that. So people are able to view us that way. And then families and the other players and even their teammates can say, oh, yeah, I saw you guys won your game yesterday. Congratulations. So
right.
I think we've set it up so that people know that they can find the information there and they're going to use it.
Well, Carly, we want to thank you for visiting with us and explaining the world of sports information at Hurt Cervite. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
I want to thank all my guests this week, including the coach Mark Soto and Carly Carlson and our four football coaches that were in the Battle of the Beach tournament out there from Cervite, Modern-day St. John Bosco, and Jay Sarah. I am Bob Gibson. We thank you for joining us. And if you want to catch any replays of our show, you simply go to OCCatholic.com/radio. You click there and you can go through the whole catalog of shows that we've been able to do here in the past several months. We thank you again for joining us right here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio.